Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Appreciate you being with us, everybody. The DA Show. Now in the mornings. Mornings are hard. This show usually isn't that hard to listen to. So check us out, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Friday. Coming up this hour. Coming up this hour on the show, we are stunned to a news in approximately 20 minutes from now. Also, can the Titans continue this winning way into a Super Bowl? We shall discuss coming up later on in the hour. Everything wall-to-wall NFL postseason this morning. So hit us up here on the phones. If you got takes, if you got thoughts, opinions, questions about divisional round weekend of the NFL or going ahead into the championship game tonight in the NCAA. All of that is on the table this morning at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. What Patrick Mahomes accomplished yesterday was nothing short of the first chapter in an all-time legacy. And I think if you've listened to this show long enough, if you know me well enough, you know I'm not prone to historic hyperbole. I don't like that. I don't like when we declare something the best ever, the worst ever. I don't like when we say that guy's a Hall of Famer, that guy's a bust. I like giving it some breathing room. But after two seasons as a starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes has already stacked so many accolades, moments, performances, plays, throws, honors, that I just don't see how Mahomes doesn't end up being one of the all-timers. Everything about him screams it. Everything. I mean, look, last year he threw for 5,000 yards, really 5,100 yards, and 50 touchdowns. It was his first year as a starting quarterback. Note that when Peyton Manning did that, he had that incredible 5,500 season, 5,500 yards and 55 touchdown season where he was the MVP in 2013. He'd already been in the league for nearly 15 years. He had kind of perfected quarterbacking after a decade and a half. Mahomes did that, just kind of a clip below that, in his first full season starting. So this year his numbers weren't as jaw-dropping as last year, but he was also injured. He missed a couple of games. He had the dislocated kneecap. He had the high ankle sprain. He had the injured finger. I mean, Mahomes was never 100%. So then yesterday, really not through any fault of his own, because Kelce had the drop. They had the blocked fumble for the blocked punt for a touchdown. Tyreek Hill gags it up again at the 2-yard line. I mean, all of that really had nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. He has headed a 24-point deficit in the first quarter of his playoff game. Again, that wasn't like he threw a pick six, two pick sixes. You know, the offense didn't move the football, but
you wouldn't say that's because it was really terrible quarterbacking. He had a couple of drops. So Patrick Mahomes is handed a 24-point deficit. And honestly, I was thinking to myself, because I have family and friends in Kansas City that are die-hard Chiefs fans. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, how would I feel if I was one of these die-hard Chiefs fans? If I was in this stadium and I had been all amped up because the Patriots had lost, the Ravens had lost, and it sets up a win today, and the Chiefs are hosting the AFC Championship game. Arrowhead on a given Saturday in September, Sunday in September, rather, is a spiritual experience. But for a playoff game, it's totally next level. I could only imagine being in those stands and then having the unbelievable bucket of water dumped on you of, oh, now you're down 24-0. I'm thinking, out of all the pain and torture in Chiefs fans' lives, boy, now they got this? The AFC Championship game was in front of them, and now they're down 24-0 in the first quarter? And I said, you know, the only thing that you would hold your hat on here if you're a Chiefs fan is that if there's any quarterback in the NFL that this is not quite impossible, it's daunting, but not quite impossible, it's Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry, 24-0, he ain't coming back from at this point in time. Tom Brady, no chance. That offense does not have that ability. I know they did in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but he's not at the point in time where he can do that anymore. Drew Brees, I mean, maybe, but again, look at how bad he looked in the divisional or in the wild card round against the Vikings. Deshaun Watson, great, but not consistent and dynamic enough of the time to come back from 24-0 in the playoffs. I don't know. I think he's the only guy that you would say, okay, daunting, but not impossible. And then it all flipped. And what's amazing is that you don't remember at the time how problematic that looked. I mean, everything went in the Texans' direction. Everything. The Chiefs were completely bamboozled. Blocked punt, Tyreek Hill fumbling the punt. I mean, wide open receiver on the first possession, 45 yards, 50 yards, touchdown, not even covered. The entire Chiefs defense bites on it. The whole thing is going the wrong direction immediately. And the Chiefs had an AFC title game put in front of them at home. And they were gagging it. They were choking it. It looked really doomed. And it doesn't feel that way now because they blew the doors off the Texans after that. But down 24-0 is not something you're supposed to say, oh, yeah, we can come back from that. That is normally a death knell. And did you see Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, down 24-0? There is no Kirk Cousins staring into space. There is no Aaron Rodgers looking frustrated. There is no Tom Brady slamming his helmet down. There is no that look from Ben Roethlisberger where he's already defeated and frustrated with his coaching staff and his wide receivers. There's no Phillip Rivers screaming at the referees and screaming at the opponent. There's none of that. There is just, not only we got this, but I am going to tell my team in no uncertain terms, we got this. We got this. And he's on the sideline imploring his team, focus. We need one play, one play, one drive, one drive. It's spectacular. And what happens? They get the return from Mecole Hardman, sets him up good field position, and it's one drive. And that's the spark. And who watching didn't think, oh, damn, 24-7 doesn't feel like 24-7. I mean, had Texans gone into halftime up 24-7, it would have felt like that's an incredible first half by the Texans. That was a perfect first half. They're up 24-7. Their 24-7 lead felt like it's going to be over here, and not in a good way. It felt like with one drive, the Chiefs had seized back all the momentum because of Patrick Mahomes. Because Mahomes running that offense at times feels totally invincible. And in one drive, how they went right in for the touchdown, and he just had the energy. It's like, bop, we're back. We got this. We're down 17. We got it. Everything flipped. And yesterday, if you look at these numbers, I mean, it's staggering. Patrick Mahomes has played in three playoff games. Last year's win against the Colts at home, last year's AFC Championship game where, had he won the coin toss, he's going to the Super Bowl. Had D Ford not been offsides, he's going to the Super Bowl. And then yesterday, when he had five touchdowns, no interceptions. Here are the first three playoff games for these Hall of Famers. Drew Brees, five touchdowns, two interceptions. Great stat line for three playoff games. Tom Brady, one touchdown, one interception. That was his whole 0-1 postseason. One touchdown, one interception. Peyton Manning, first three playoff games. One touchdown, two picks. Patrick Mahomes, first three playoff games. Eight touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, come on. Eight touchdowns, no interceptions, three wins, well, two wins, and then going to overtime in the AFC Championship game, which was almost a win had D Ford been onside. I don't know. There is so much of this that I've compared to Dan Marino because there are so many parallels. Marino in 83 and 84 just is on this kind of obvious, oh my God, he's the next great one, and there's nothing people can do to stop him. 84, he gets to a Super Bowl, loses to the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl. 85, gets the AFC Championship game, loses the AFC Championship game, and then the Dolphins never support him well enough, but he's amazing. He's amazing every single year. But there's never any real support for him beyond 85. I mean, for Mahomes, I hope there's always support for him. I hope there's always Andy Reid and those explosive receivers and a solid defense because he's deserved at least a supporting cast. But he already looks like one of the greats that will ever do this. And I hate to do this when a guy's in his third year, but I mean... He was down 24-0 and ended up with five touchdown passes and no interceptions. When you're down 24-0, usually you force passes. You try to do too much. You have to get your team back at it quickly, so you take some risks. He was nearly flawless down 24-0. And not only did he have 321 through the air and five scores and no interceptions, he had 53 yards rushing as well. So many of those for big pickups and first downs that made the chains move and had momentum going. I don't know how you could have a better start to your career. It is extraordinary. And yesterday should not have looked that easy. I mean, I know the Texans are kind of coached by a dunce in Bill O'Brien. And I mean, my God, Romeo Crennel was completely, totally lost. But that's because Mahomes is that great. Mahomes is that great. And I just think that's his first kind of legacy moment. Had he won last year's AFC Championship game, that would have been his first. I think at a loss, it's hard to say remember that performance. His second half against the Patriots, against Bill Belichick, was otherworldly. But I don't know if that will go down in history because he lost it. Yesterday does. It's the first of, that's a Mahomes game. Remember the time Mahomes came back 24-0 and put up 51 points. I mean, that's going to have to be how we frame this, that yesterday was Mahomes' first, my God, remember when he did that. There's the jump pass. There's the no-look pass. There's the sidearm pass. There's the loss against the Rams last year on Monday night. There's the AFC title game, but yesterday was, I think, the first remember where you were because Mahomes did something that you're not supposed to do. Down 24-0 and then blow out the opponent. Handed a three-touchdown deficit plus and won in a blowout. They scored on seven straight drives. Not field goals, seven straight touchdowns. Mahomes Mraz, was that an all-time quarterback moment yesterday?
Yes, because I think forever we will remember what happened to the Chiefs with Andrew Luck. To me, Andrew Luck's finest moment is his comeback. We still talk
against
about,
the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs. We still talk about Frank Reich. I think when all is said and done, I believe Patrick Mahomes will win a Super Bowl, if not more. It's tough to say that looking at Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers having only won one.
Right.
But outside of winning a Super Bowl, I don't know how when the story is written about Patrick Mahomes, you won't always point to January 12th, 2020, down 24-0 versus the Texans, comeback, running out of fireworks, the whole deal. Patrick Mahomes was incredible last night.
The only thing that hurts her from a legacy standpoint is that it wasn't dramatic at the end. Had he been down 24-0 starting the third quarter or midway through the third, and they had to score in every drive, and, you know, their final drive to push ahead.
Right. Kelsey has a Dwight Clark moment, something like that.
If they win 28-24, in some ways it would have been more memorable than yesterday because it doesn't even feel like the Chiefs trailed in yesterday's
game. But that's why it's yesterday, I don't think it's hyperbole to say. I know you're talking about hyperboles. Yesterday might be the most unique postseason game of all time, in that it was a comeback, and then they end up blowing them out by 20, and the way the comeback happens so quick that when you look at the top five comebacks of all time in the postseason, and you look at that game and you see the final score, it's always going to stick out because it became a blowout the other way, and it doesn't become a blowout the other way without a talent like Patrick Mahomes.
Right. If this is 12 minutes to play in the third quarter, and now every drive has to be a touchdown, and their final drive is with 2 minutes to play, and Mahomes has to get in the end zone, it takes on a different lore. And that was the Frank Reich game, is that every drive had to be a touchdown because they trailed 35-3 starting the third quarter. So they didn't have any drives to give away, and they had to force overtime and then win in overtime. Mahomes, it just so happened he only needed a quarter to do it, and it happened in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, midway through third quarter, Travis Kelce's basically begging Andy Reid to get back in the game, and Andy Reid feels comfortable enough to say,
"Don't need you.
We don't need you."
Yeah,
they were down 24-0 in the game. It's insane.
Yesterday, it's hard to put into words how crazy yesterday was. And think about trailing 24-0 and then winning in a blowout. It's just impossible to even fathom that being a real thing. Imagine being the Texans and leading 24-0 and knowing you're going to lose early fourth quarter.
Comfortable. Feet up if you're a Chief fan in the second half.
Yeah.
You went from dead silent, I can't believe Andy Reid choked again, to I'm totally relaxed before you started the fourth quarter.
And let's face it, at halftime, 28-24, game was over.
Game was over.
You did not think the Texans were going to be able to hang in that.
Look, I thought 28-14, or what was it, 24-14, I thought the game was over the other way. I mean, if you didn't see that coming at that point.
I mean, seriously, right?
And especially when they botched the kick the other way to go up the third, that was it.
24-14 felt like, well, a 10-point deficit is now nothing for the Chiefs. And then as soon as they got that bobbled kickoff return, you said, this is over. The Chiefs are winning this football game.
If I ran a sports book in Vegas, the moment that game became 24-14, I am ripping down all live bets on Chief money line comebacks there because the game was over. That's it.
And then midway through the third, the Chiefs put up their fifth consecutive touchdown drive, and it's becoming a blowout. I mean, it went from down 24-0 to Chiefs blowout in a quarter and a half.
I'm telling you, that is one of the most insane games. Maybe I'm misreading this. I will never forget yesterday's game. That is one of the most insane games in NFL history to me that I will ever see.
Patrick Mahomes. Patrick freaking Mahomes. He was perfect. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, led 7 consecutive touchdown drives, came back from down 24-0 to lead a rout. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Beam me up. DA. You know what? The Watch DA stream, I'm hooked on it. Such a good product.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Send us your question of the day at DA on CBS on Twitter, and we'll read through those coming up later on in the show. You can watch at watchda.com. It's mobile. It's mobile friendly. It's everywhere. It's digital. It's free. Just go to watchda.com on your phone, on your device of any kind, tablet, laptop, desktop, etc. You can check it out at watchda.com. Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Eric tweets, and what a great weekend of football. The Jimmy Johnson Hall of Fame announcement, pretty special. Imagine the countless hours these coaches spend working and the sacrifices they make each season. I felt great for Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson. I love the emotion for both of those guys. And you're right. I mean, the dedication to the craft when you are a head coach and the success that you have to have comes from so much hard work and so much attention to detail that, yeah, these guys are next level. But I will say there was something a little odd about just how symmetrical it all was, where Bill Cowher, head coach of the 90s and 2000s, around the CBS set, and David Baker comes and gives him his bouquet, basically. It's like, you know, the Bachelor. And then he cries, and then the next day at the Fox set, David Baker does the same thing for Jimmy Johnson, head coach of the 90s, winner of two Super Bowls. He's crying. It just felt like, how did this happen so perfectly for both of these guys at the same weekend, the same 24-hour window? But you know what? It was cool. It was great. Pete the Body Bellotti, you are a total softy because you loved Jimmy Johnson getting all emotional and verklempt. Do you think that there should be more of this in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. The NFL, I feel like we talk about referees. We talk about concussions. And I think more of this is what the NFL...
More guys crying.
Yeah, more guys crying. More emotion, more good moments.
Yeah.
I think the NFL has lacked that in previous years.
Feel-good moments.
Yeah, you need your feel-good moments. And I think the NFL especially, with some bad blood that's happened over the last couple of years.
These were definitely feel-good moments. There was one thing that was not a feel-good moment for me yesterday watching the game on Fox, and that was the promos for the XFL. This bothered me, okay? And it's not that I am rooting against the XFL, really. I am a scorned lover, having loved the Alliance, and so I'm not quick to love again. But I'm wishing success on the XFL only because I like more football in my life. What I don't like is totally factually inaccurate promotion of it. They run a promo yesterday, a commercial on Fox during the Packers and Seahawks game. They got Joel Klatt on the screen, who I love. Love Joel Klatt. And they show a profile of a couple of guys playing in the games, and it says Cardale Jones, okay, he won a national championship with Ohio State, and Connor Cook, the former Michigan State quarterback, and then Joel Klatt says, you know, the level of talent in this league is unprecedented. And I said, how dare you? How dare you? Because who was saying that about the Alliance last year? Did anybody ever say, wow, the level of talent in the AAF is unprecedented? No. No. No one ever said that. No. And this is the same guys. The same exact guys were in the XFL as was in the Alliance last year. That's the first part. The second part is unprecedented. How dare you? Once upon a time, there was a spring football league that had Steve Young and Jim Kelly and Reggie White in it. A spring football league that had three of the greatest players in football history. And on to an offensive lineman, Gary Zimmerman. In the old USFL, there were four Pro Football Hall of Famers playing. My guess is when the XFL kicks off in 3 weeks, I ain't seeing four guys that will end up in Canton one day. That's just my guess.
My guess is I'm not going to see the next Steve Young on the St. Louis Battlehawks. My guess. Unprecedented. Do you realize the USFL had three consecutive Heisman Trophy winners? They had Herschel Walker, Mike Rozier, and Doug Flutie playing in it. Three consecutive Heismans. My guess is I'm not going to see Joe Burrow playing in the XFL next season. Just a guess. My guess is I'm not going to see three consecutive Heismans and four Pro Football Hall of Famers. How dare you say unprecedented level of talent? How dare you? And you know what? Twitter is never a good judge of how smart or dumb this country is, because largely it's just dumb. But you should have seen the replies to the tweet when I said, have we forgotten about the USFL in terms of the talent's unprecedented? Everybody. Everybody. Just so dumb. It's just a commercial, DA. Well, it's factually incorrect. If it's football and you don't like it, don't watch it. That's not the point. Jimmy Crack Corn tweets, very similar to turning on CBS Sports Radio and realizing there's not a single person I want to listen to. Again, it would only be similar if our promo was an unprecedented amount of hosts that you want to listen to.
The first national sports radio network ever.
You're right.
CBS.
Nah. To be fair, I think BT tweeted that before the new year.
I mean, come on. This guy, Dave White, tweets at me. Yeah. Either way, the XFL is going to be a lot of fun. That's not the point. The point is you're promoting a network with a flat-out lie. It's not an unprecedented amount of talent. It's not. It's like saying, buy your Jaguar season tickets, we'll be the greatest Super Bowl team ever. Come on! Factually inaccurate. 855-212-4CBS.
Just to be fair, the XFL, original XFL, did have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay, one. Who?
Rashawn Salaam.
Okay,
Memphis one. Maniac star.
The late. Okay. They had one.
The precedent has been set there. They could get some Heisman Trophy winners in here.
Well, they'd need three consecutive and four NFL Hall of Famers to rise to unprecedented.
And not three guys hanging on. Three guys who had just won the Heisman.
That had options in the NFL.
Right.
If you're looking for me to defend the XFL, you got the wrong camp. I'm just pointing out that at least it was there for the XFL. You never know.
Well, again, unprecedented would be it had not happened before. So they need four Heisman Trophy winners and four NFL Hall of Famers.
Let's not forget, this is the same league that when we had Aaron Murray on a week before he got drafted, he basically said, I have no idea if I have any interest in that league, and was drafted a week later to play for the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Yeah. Standing by with your headlines, here's a kind sir named Andrew Bogish. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. These headlines are sponsored by the NFL. Thanks to you, Huddle for 100 surpassed its goal of 100 million minutes. Volunteer in your community now to spread the spirit of service. Log your minutes at NFL.com/Huddle for 100. Those Houston Texans will always have those first 19 minutes yesterday at Arrowhead.
On second and goal, Watson puts the leg down. Here's the snap. Deshaun to throw over the middle. Got a man. Fells. Touchdown, Houston. Up three TDs to nothing.
Mark Vandermeer feeling good on Texans radio. Houston added a field goal before giving up. The Chiefs scored 41 unanswered points, 51 total over the final 40 minutes of this divisional round matchup. They turned that 24-0 hole into a 51-31 victory and a spot alongside the Titans in the AFC title game while J.J. Watt goes home.
You go up 24-0 on the road in a tough environment, and special teams making great plays, and then it all fell apart.
Oh, man. And then we got scared. I mean, J.J. Watt's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. No doubt he's going to be in Canton one day. But, guys, they're coming back from down 24-0. Where's J.J. Watt?
Yeah, make a play.
J.J. Watt is nowhere. I mean, he's huffing and puffing. I know he was out, torn pec. I mean, the guy's a warrior. But, I mean, did anybody else feel like you had a 24-point lead? The Chiefs are just going on a run. You need to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer here and get a sack.
Well,
get
just
a stop.
Or somebody do something.
But J.J. Watt's one of the greatest ever of his generation.
Correct.
So I kind of was waiting for, like, hey, J.J., here's your moment to slow down the momentum.
Is it okay to just admit that J.J. Watt might be just a tad bit overrated throughout his whole career?
Okay, so you're not even saying at this point in his career he's compromised. You're saying his entire career.
I think his entire career. I think he's been a really good defensive end that has been kind of blown up by his bigger-than-now personality. The fact that he looks like the Terminator, has the braces and everything like that, can rack up the sacks. I'm not saying he's a bad player. But J.J. Watt, I mean, geez, guys, he's not Deacon Jones. He's a little bit overrated here.
Well, okay, so
I mean, how many we've seen the Texans in the playoffs a bunch. Has J.J. Watt really ever disrupted and affected a big game before in our lives?
Well, when he caught that touchdown pass, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. His best moment in the postseason's career has been on offense.
I can't say that. I think there's one of those wild card games where he had like four passes defense.
I thought he had a pick six in a playoff game, like jumping a screen pass and taking it back for
again,
a touchdown.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I just think when we look back at J.J. Watt's career, I think the personality and the persona that was J.J. Watt is better than the actual player.
So here was my thought on yesterday. If the Giants were up 24-0 in a playoff game and the opposing team came roaring back, you'd expect LT to have to make a play.
Yes.
Reggie White, if the Packers or the Eagles were up 24-0 and the opposing team's coming down the field, Reggie White has got to step up and get a sack, a big play, a strip sack, something like that, cause a fumble. J.J. Watt's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he deserves it. You know, he's not the only guy out there. But J.J. Watt was on a defense that gave up essentially 51 unanswered points.
You got Romo basically saying he's winded. He's winded. I don't care that he didn't play for weeks. What do you mean he's winded? Get on a treadmill, get out there, and run around and make a play. What do you mean you're winded?
Oh, boy.
Come on. This isn't me off a couple beers on a Saturday night waking up to play flag football. Your job is you go to work and you work out every day. He gets to spend 4 to 5 hours in a gym every day. And his excuse on Sunday from Tony Romo is that he's winded? You want to go to Canton and you're winded in a divisional playoff game when the Patriots are out of the playoffs and you're trying to get to the Super Bowl? That's your excuse? You're out of breath? Out of breath? Come on. What'd you do, to slip and slide with kids all day long? A summer July 4th day? You're winded. That's your job. Your job is to just run around and chase a quarterback. There is no getting winded. You're paid not to be winded. What an excuse.
Joe Judge last week. My guys will not be winded.
Yeah, right.
Never winded.
J.J. Watt can't play for Joe Judge. He cannot. Joe Judge gets a hold of that locker room. You're winded? You're out. I mean, come on. J.J., one less jelly donut, please.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you can have it.
Coming from you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. From someone who doesn't have wind to get winded, you're telling J.J. Watt to be
wind.
In better shape. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, unprecedented four touchdown passes in the second quarter yesterday, except for the fact that Doug Williams did the same exact thing back in Super Bowl 22. Mahomes, five total TDs, three of them to tight end Travis Kelce. There was a little more drama at Lambeau as the Packers' 21-3 halftime lead became just 28-23 in the final minutes. Green Bay forced Seattle to punt before the two-minute warning and then never gave the ball back.
Rodgers in the shotgun, three receivers right, Devontae left, snap to Rodgers, blitz on, he throws it over the middle, Jimmy Graham's got it, stumbling close to the first down, he's got the first down.
But only after review upheld the questionable spot on that play, Wayne Larrivee called it on Packers radio. Depending on how you look at that spot, Graham might have been, probably was short. Pete Carroll certainly thought so.
She's Mrs. Clark. Give her a round of applause. She's underappreciated and needs to be celebrated. Let's hear for Mrs. Clark.
So if you weren't here an hour one, we decided that Carol looked like Mrs. Claus post-game last night. And then I found out this woman wrote a song because she thought that Mrs. Claus is the anti-J.J. Watt. that she is underrated and never gets winded propping up Mr. Claus.
And that song, by the way, sounds like Pete Carroll's theme song.
For his sitcom?
Yeah.
He wrote it just for him.
Pete and Mrs. Claus. Yep. And he basically is Mrs. Doubtfire and dresses up as Mrs. Claus around the holidays.
Slow shot of him chewing gum on the sideline, playing that music in the background.
I'm telling you, Pete Carroll yesterday had his little Seahawks hat, beanie hat, propped up on the top, the crown of his head, above his ears. He's got those reader glasses that, like, my dad gets at, like, $5 for $1.
Cheaters.
Okay. And he's just, like, chewing that gum. He looks like he's doing, like, a mall fun run, you know?
but it's a turkey trot.
Yeah,
he
really
just got done.
But he also looks like he's basically Mrs. Claus with an Ellen DeGeneres haircut.
And that's the head coach of the Seahawks. So they are done. 28-23 was the final last night at Lambeau. So Sunday's schedule now begins. Chiefs hosting the Titans, then the Packers, and the Niners. Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski is reportedly the Browns' new head coach, while Vikings defensive coordinator George Edwards expected to be let go. Like Bill Cowher on CBS Saturday, Jimmy Johnson ambushed yesterday on Fox, told he is headed for the Hall of Fame. NBA last night, the Spurs rallied for a 105-104 win in Toronto. The Nuggets topped the Clippers 114-104 in Denver, and the Grizzlies down the Warriors 122-102. Golden State's on an 8-game skid. And on ice last night, the Devils fired GM Ray Shiro, then snapped the Lightning's 10-game win streak, 3-1 in Newark.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, this morning we are stunned and maybe a little impressed with a Georgia man who broke into a Taco Bell very early on Christmas morning. The restaurant, of course, was closed, but he wanted to eat. So he climbed in through the drive-thru window and then proceeded to make himself a Taco Bell meal using all of Taco Bell's supplies and fryers, like as if he had once worked there. I don't know.
So the Taco Bell was closed.
Closed. He goes into the drive-thru window, fires up the fryer, makes himself, I don't know what, but then in maybe his most questionable decision, he takes a nap after eating in the Taco Bell, wakes up, because it's still overnight into Christmas morning, steals a laptop and a tablet, presumably to pay for his next Taco Bell meal after he sells those things, and then gets away with it. At last check, they do not know where this man is, so he broke in, ate, napped, stole, and is on the lam as of this morning.
So they have security footage to know what happened?
Yes, but they can't find him. It was not a ghost, real person, saw him climbing in, saw him using the fryer, saw him stealing, and saw him sleeping, and then leave.
I have so many questions here. Number one, you can open up the drive-thru window from the outside?
There has to be some kind of lock that I would guess somebody screwed up the night before and didn't lock it fully.
Number two, if I did find myself in a Taco Bell overnight after hours, I would not know how to use the fryer.
Exactly.
Is that an easy thing?
I wouldn't doubt it, but this guy has to have fast food experience, I would think.
That was my thought, too.
Even if not a Taco Bell, I would guess your standard fast food fryer probably works at many of these
places. Or if he was a short order cook or something,
I guess. Right. He probably has cooking experience, so I'd start there. But at this point, though, if you steal that, is this a big enough crime where, like, you're in Tabiti by now?
You want that one?
So do you mean if you got away with this, you would...
Well, like, he's a fugitive now.
And you would be on some type of deserted island.
Right, that's my point, though. Is this one of those ones where you flee the country if they haven't found you by now? Is that big a crime?
I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, I think he's okay. They're not actively looking for him.
Breaking and entering and petty larceny or something like that. Petty theft. I mean, it's only like a laptop.
All right, I guess. I'm just saying, if that's a great... would you rather spend a year in jail or spend the rest of your life in the Cayman Islands?
Probably the Cayman Islands, especially if I just had a free Taco Bell dinner. And so, I mean, how about this guy's schedule? He decides, I'm hungry, I'm getting into that Taco Bell. It's
correct.
After hours, so that's Taco Bell, so it's got to be pretty late. So let's say it's 3 a.m.
Right, but it's the only time they wouldn't be open at 3 a.m., Christmas Eve and Christmas.
True. So he gets in, he says, I'm going to be here, I'm comfortable enough to make myself food. I'm going to make the meal, I feel comfortable enough to sleep here.
Yeah.
However long that is. I wake up, and then I say, Well, I know I'm on security camera. While I'm here, I might as well steal stuff as well and get out all before nobody arrives. I mean,
Christmas Day, it's closed.
It was closed. So he had the place to himself. Now, I don't know if that was really part of his plan. I mean, he seems, as you just laid out, very confident in this and in zero rush. So maybe he knew exactly it was the perfect time to go in there and have the run of the mill.
What a different Christmas morning than the rest of us might have had.
I would say so. And what a kind of criminal mastermind, because is nobody looking at security footage during these hours?
Probably not. And they wouldn't even know until the next day. He probably had a full 24 hours to get to Tabiti if he wanted to.
The beautiful place at Tabiti.
Yeah, or Key Largo, whichever one you want to go to. What would you make, by the way, if you broke into Taco Bell?
I would make a gordita, or I would make I love those double-decker tacos with a spicy sauce.
Yeah.
You get that panini press, you make the Crunchwrap Supreme, because that's not something you can make at home, because you got to have the flat hard shell in between, the tortilla on the outside. It's Crunchwrap Supreme, or Boston.
Don't make the bisque.
Mexican pizza.
Don't make the bisque. He's sitting there cooking a 5-gallon thing of Taco Bell bisque for the holidays. I'm bringing this over to the in-laws.
Looking up the manager's number to see if they have any heavy cream anywhere.
When we come back here on the show, can the Titans actually win a Super Bowl? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Doc. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I love the Doc.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. If you're watching at WatchDA.com, you've got a nice little memory there. As the Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kaplan, is replaying our Belle Bisque DeVoe segment. And you can see the happiness on our faces as we're eating what we think is a delicious Taco Bell bisque. And this is well before our stomach aches and our headaches and our illnesses and our gastrointestinal duress later on in that day. If you just saw that segment at WatchDA.com during the commercial break, because Cap always plays the best of during commercials, you would have thought we loved that. You didn't see the aftermath. It was gruesome. You can't make the argument that the Tennessee Titans can't win a Super Bowl. You have to be able to make the argument that they can. Because the Tennessee Titans just went on the road and beat the defending Super Bowl champions and the one seed in the AFC. Now, to be fair, both of those teams, the Patriots and the Ravens, did have their own vulnerabilities. For the Patriots, it was an offense that had been limited all season long, and the fact that the Titans didn't need to score a lot of points and keep up with them meant that they could really play a slow-down, grind-out game and not have to worry about playing some wild type of catch-up. And for the Baltimore Ravens, an inexperienced young team when it comes to this type of pressure, this type of moment, and they could knock them off their rhythm and they didn't know how to get it back. But I don't think you can say there's anybody left in the playoffs that is that much more invincible than the two teams they just played. I mean, I don't think you can say, as good as the Niners, the Packers, and the Chiefs are, that the Titans can't do that, because what the Titans have done is win multiple playoff games with their quarterback throwing for less than 100 yards. They have kept both opponents to two touchdowns, basically. Two touchdowns. Well, if you can keep an offense to two touchdowns, you've got a chance to win every game you're in. And Derrick Henry has run for 200 yards, basically, in both of these games. If you can hold your opponent to two touchdowns, and you can run for nearly 200 yards, guess what? That game is in your sights. Now, I don't think they'll be able to slow down the Chiefs' offense that much to be able to do that. I don't think that the Chiefs' offense is going to be played around 14 points. And I don't think that Ryan Tannehill can get by winning an AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium throwing for 88 yards again. But they just did it twice. So I'm not going to be the one that says, no, they can't do it. They can't do it. They're doing it. When we come back, is there disrespect on the Packers? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.